And now, welcome to the midday for a Friday. I'm Norman Gilliland, and tonight the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra will be performing three works, one by the English composer E.J. Moran, a sinfonietta, the Vaughan Williams Lark Ascending, and Beethoven's Violin Concerto in D, and the second and the third of those two works, unless I'm mistaken, are going to be played by my guest in the studio. Welcome, Gilles Lapape.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Is it a little unusual to be playing two solo works, big ones, on a concert?
Not all the time. You know, people, you know, the Beethoven concerto is such a beautiful, long, you know.
Yes, big.
It's almost like a symphony with a little, tiny little fiddle on top of it. And usually it's enough for a concert. But Andrew wanted to do some British music. So, you know, I was telling him about this piece that I've never played before, called The Lark Ascending. It's a lovely piece. It's so surreal, and the violin is all shiny by himself.
Yes.
And, you know, imitating the birds.
And so this has been a discovery for you.
Yeah.
The Lark
Ascending.
Well,
I knew the work, but, you know, it's always interesting to play work for the first time. You know, you've never played it, and it's always exciting, even if we get a little older in age, you never have enough of learning, you know.
That's what keeps you young.
Hello. That and surfing, that would do it.
Oh, yes. Well, you're out in California. You've been doing some of that, some surfing?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm not really in California. I was there like a month ago, and then I'm on the road mainly, you know. Just I'm with a suitcase for the next 10 months.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. But I still find, like, ask me what I'm doing in a couple of days. I'm going to be surfing in Brittany on the West Coast. And so that's it. So I do have little breaks here and there where I adjust nature to music.
You know? Well, you know, when you say surfing, this may be getting a little transcendental, but we were just talking about the Lark Ascending, and of course the way that violin part just soars into the sky.
Oh, yeah, you're thinking of a long board, long
waves.
Yeah.
Yes,
I was getting into that. It's funny, I was talking to a guy, a friend of mine, you know, he said, you know, I'm doing a surf movie, and I need some music for, you know, to describe the wave. And I said, well, listen, I get what you want, you know. Check out just some of the phrases in classical music, and that was the Beethoven Violin Concerto. Long wave, nine footer, shoulder high.
Uh-huh.
It's just...
Do you think of music when you're surfing?
I don't, it depends, you know. Yeah, of course, a little bit of both, you know. It helps you.
Does it?
Finding, yes, definitely. Nature is, like, for me, the best cure for everything. And then sometimes, you know, if you play the violin or the fiddle, whatever you call it, you know, you have a little violin case, so you can go in the woods when the weather allows it. You put your violin in the bushes, you know, the case, and then you start walking. And if there is nobody on the trails, or even if there is nobody, nobody cares. But you by yourself.
They would be, not only would they not care, they would be delighted to see a violinist.
Yeah. It's really unusual, and I love to do that, you know. I love to crank it out.
Could
we fiddle
entice
out.
You into fiddling in our woods around here?
It's a little frisky.
It is a little brisk.
Yeah, a little brisk, little wind. You got to have the perfect conditions for this kind of thing. And, you know, I can go like this in the woods and can stay like 2 or 3 hours. And, you know, working on memory, you know, memorizing music. And if you have like a beautiful organic surrounding, your mind, you know, just end up like getting all the information so much quicker.
Really?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Than if you were in a studio somewhere trying to memorize it.
Oh yeah. Well, looking at, you're looking at walls, you're looking at concrete, you're looking
Yeah,
at
well, yes,
things,
yeah. Abstractions.
abstractions from reality and nature. And when you have something like this, you just yeah, it's another world.
That's fascinating. Well,
Yeah.
one of the violinists who spoke very highly of you was Sir Yehudi
Who's that? You ever heard of him?
Menuhin. And don't
Okay.
pull the plug on me here. A very famous violinist and much recorded. And we actually have some of his early recordings. It's interesting how many of them there are. I mean, going all the way back to the 1930s
Oh, wow.
and
Menuhin,
playing Beethoven and Brahms and things like that. And in the latter category,
right.
we will have a movement from one of the Brahms, well, actually, the Brahms Violin Concerto. We'll hear some of that. And then maybe also a little bit of his Beethoven as soon as I go to the vault and fetch it. But what would you say? Is there any way to generalize the sound of Yehudi Menuhin's playing?
Oh, it's the sound that inspired me to play the violin as a kid.
Truly.
Oh,
How
yes.
did you come across it?
I was telling that story yesterday. I was playing in some kind of a little coffee shop, which was lovely, and so a few people were there and ended up talking about life and stuff. I don't know. It's just my father was listening to a lot of military music and loved that stuff. And my mother never liked that music. And she w once in a while she would put a LP. And the first LP that she put on was Mr. Menuhin. I call him Mr. Menuhin because it's hard for me to say Lord. And he was playing this Beethoven violin concerto, and that's what got me into music, really. That's what got me into the beauty of it, and the violin, the sound of a violin, and that's what I listened to it. But his sound was just so magical. I mean, you listen to the sound of Mr. Menuhin when he was 12 or 13 years old.
Yes,
Abs
there's.
absolutely insanely beautiful.
He was playing the Beethoven Violin Concerto at 11, wasn't he, with in New York with the Philharmonic, I think.
Yeah, when you think about that, you just wonder, and but he got his sound. I think he had just a beautiful gift, a unique gift when he was a kid, but also studied from one of the best musicians in the world, well, that nobody really truly know about him, but his name was George Enescu.
Sure. Yeah, the Romanian.
Yeah, you know him,
Well, a
but
famous composer too.
exactly. And his music was, I mean, I know pretty much all Enescu's music by heart, and I was always influenced by this man.
Truly, that's an
Oh,
interesting combination.
that's one of the most. I mean, if people listen to what on the radio, there is a little book out, and it's called "Souvenirs d'enfance" en français, "Remembrance of My Childhood," and it was absolutely amazing. It's a tiny little book, but it explains everything about his life. And the sound of his violin, Enescu's sound on the violin was just absolutely amazing, and that's how Mr. Menuhin got his sound, I'm sure.
Oh,
Yeah.
that would put you one handshake away from
Oh
Enescu,
my. Yeah.
and two handshakes away from who knows what celebrated composers or violinists.
That's it. And Enescu was like, new Brahms and all that, so Ravel and Debussy and. Yeah.
Well, let's hear a bit of Menuhin playing Brahms, second movement, the middle movement of the Brahms Violin Concerto in D. Taking us back to 1949, and it's the Lausanne Festival Orchestra led by Wilhelm Furtwängler. second movement of Brahms' Violin Concerto in D. That was Yehudi Menuhin, later Sir Yehudi Menuhin.
Lord.
Yes, Lord Menuhin.
Lord, he was named. Yeah.
And also performing the Lucerne Festival Orchestra led by Wilhelm Furtwängler. That's one of those famous names, Furtwängler, certainly. A lot of history.
Interesting
there
fellow, eh?
This well, I haven't met him.
Oh my, I was watching a documentary on him.
Uh-huh.
You know, during the war.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Everybody thought he was a Nazi. And,
right, yes.
You know, you had that. But not at all. He was just so naive and loved his Germany so much. And
Very difficult times.
Very difficult
lots
times.
Of tightrope walking for a lot of performers and people of all
yeah.
kinds. But yeah. Yes, Furtwängler certainly was one of them.
Yeah.
This is a time when we see, I think, more than ever, eclectic classical music with influences from all over the place, and that includes you, Gilles Appap, having this...
That's me.
This born in Algeria?
Yep.
But French,
French
family?
Yeah, French. Actually, the name comes from Malta.
Oh,
Ireland.
Does it?
Yeah, and then we, you know, all the family went to Catalonia and then moved to Algeria, and I'm the fifth generation being born in Algeria, so... Yeah,
so
and then we during the war, everybody had to flee and get the hell out of a town, sorry.
Yeah. So the music you play, I would think, in part because of that, but also because of subsequent travels and experiences, your music is all over the place in terms of the background, the nationality of it.
Yeah, I don't know, I was always, you know, going on stage playing classical music is such a hard, compelling work, and you always have to study so much, and you have to always have to be close to perfection and blah 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 blah, which doesn't make any sense to
me. Perfection is overrated, isn't it?
Oh, but it still goes
sure
strong, and when you hear all this new school of playing, I don't totally agree with what I listen to. I like the old sound. I like the old world. I don't know. But anyways, all that to say that my connection with Mr. Menuhin was like through traditional music.
Yes.
And he was really interested about, you know, Indian music, you know, having collaborated with Ravi Shankar and so yeah, so I've met him really several times, and we traveled together, and he was, you know, bring me to see all these kings and queens of Europe, you know, which was so funny, and traveling with such a beautiful, you know, person as him, and every time he was asking me question about music, every time. And every time we talked about music, I say, hey, Mr. Menuhin, you know, put your hand on my bow arm and try to, you know, see the difference between when you play a jig, an Irish jig, or when you play some old-time music, or when you play some bluegrass, even like,
or
you
jazz.
Know, or jazz with Stefan Grappelli,
right,
who was like
stuff.
Almost like my grandfather. You know, I've met Stefan several times and came to my place in California. I mean, it's like, oh, you know, life is so rich and full. It's absolutely
and it's
yeah
great to be able to share that musically, that
yeah
rich
yeah.
richness, which is increasingly apparent.
Yeah.
I wish